earliest memories of the region?
Earliest, going back, I mean, I've seen the horse and carts and the drays and all that through the town carting wood. I remember as quite a young lad, my mum took me to Owen by train to visit relations up there. And anyway, she came back, I think she took me up there and left me there. But anyway, coming home, we got as far as Gawler, and she said to me, I haven't got a clue how we're going to get home, because there was no transport from Gawler to Williamstown. It was all push bike or... And as it turned out, Al Marriott over here, you remember, he had a wagon, and he used to take wood from the forest to Gawler. And as it turned out, somehow Mum caught eye of Al Marriott coming along. She said, well, this is about the only way we're going to get home, is on the back of this wagon. And it's 12 mile from, Gawler's 12 mile from here. So we climbed up on the back of this empty wagon with two horses pulling it, and the old Al sitting up there. Man alive, that's the slowest and the worst drive I've ever put up in my lifetime. It took me ages to get home, and half the time I got out and had to walk. But it just sort of, it's an experience to think back along those lines, and all that went on with the wagons here in the town, with the carting of their wood. There were several, the Whitemans and that in there, they had the same type of thing. Even when I was working in the store down here, Len Whiteman used to still come up here with his horse and cart, and that's going back quite some number of years now.
Can you put a date roughly on?
I was working in the store, I reckon I'd be around, 18. The horse and cart was still about.
That'd be 48.
Yes it would. Yeah.
That would have been during the war. Would have been during the war, wouldn't it?
Just after.
I remember him quite well because the handrail was just out in front of the store that was there, and he'd tie it up under the handrails there and get out of his little jinker or get up into it with his groceries and take it back. Yeah.
Interesting that your mother was certain that you'd get home to do like that. Yeah, the certainty of finding some way.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have worried about it. You were worried.
No, she didn't either. She was a bit of a character herself.
But those wood carters, they used to have a routine. They would stable the horses overnight, then they'd go to Mount Crawford, and they usually had other people who were cutting the wood in lengths, and they would load the wood and bring it back to Williamstown and stay the night. And the next day they would proceed to Gawler to unload. Now, there's a lot of stories about the horses finding their own way back. And at Cockatoo Valley, there was what they called the wine...
Yeah. Wine shop, right?
Wine shop. Yeah. And invariably...
Still there. Yeah, the building is still there.
Yeah, invariably they always called in there and topped up with a... You know, bit
Schluck.
Of good look. And
there was three wine shops.
Yeah.
Another one on Wenkley's Road.
Right.
And then there was one up here by the other side of Ross's.
Not for you, I know.
It was down in the by the creek there. There was apparently they used to have several stock places.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was told.
Yeah, well then, after the stop there, they used to congregate and perhaps all go home on one trolley, and the others would just follow. The horses would just follow one another, and They used to lie on the back of the train and enjoy the stars or whatever. But I think that, does anybody know how many teams there were in the town at that time there? I have heard the number.
Well, we could just about run through and give the names of the fellows. Woodfield was one.
Yeah. Marriott.
What was his name?
Marriott. Oh.
Gil Woodfield.
Yeah.
He had horses there right through for many years, and he was a teamster. Then you go up to the Whitemans on the South Terrace. There was Frank Whiteman there, and his brother Len. Both those were teamsters cutting.
Oh, Jack Fromm was another one.
Yeah, Jack.
Photos of him.
Mm. Right, yeah. And then in the street in the town here, there was Splint Marriott, we called him.
Yeah.
And the other Marriott was Alb Marriott, and his son followed him.
Bill Marriott?
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill finished off cutting and working with his dad. Eventually, Sam Marriott bought the truck, and Bill finished up with the truck as years went on.
My grandfather was in that team as well.
Mm. Harris.
I see.
William Harris.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Bill, from down, goodness me.
Yep.
Hard times.
Yeah. They used to be, all that wood was cut with an axe, and they used to cut it in lengths. About
4 foot?
4 foot, something like that. And it was usually stringy dark, and there was just forests of it naturally up Mount Crawford.
Yeah. And my father and Sam Charles used to cut in the South Para area.
Right at the Kersford, really.
Yeah. They were skilled axe people. They could knock up, I don't know how many tons. They were German wagons, mostly.
It was very high.
Yeah, and they'd put hungry sticks up so they could stack it up high, like the old German wagon was a V-shaped. And then we got photos of that, and I'm sure there's a lot in the history.
It's amazing how you recall things when you start like this, because in my young day, the groceries from the store the deliveries from the groceries of the groceries around the towns and the areas was done by a horse and a cart, and the butcher.
And the baker.
Remember that.
And the baker.
Yeah, yes.
We're all Wally right. Sizer.
Yeah, yeah.
The old lane. The old butcher, the Cundys,
Argent.
Argent, yeah, there were
Argent.
Greggs.
Two lots of butchers, I think, in the town. Yeah. But when they used to come, they used to just have a, that was a wooden box on the back, and they'd open the doors and they'd have a branch of gum trees and they'd keep the blows out.
Yeah.
But they used to, we used to have deliveries even during the war from Gawler.
Yeah.
And Winnan Brothers, and they used to have a Bedford truck, and they had a gas producer on it during the war because you couldn't get petrol. And I can remember that. We used to exchange eggs for groceries and that type of thing. And old Reg Winnan, if he happened to have a cracked egg, he'd just eat it like that. Oh, I still was a kid. Just turn them off.
And that was all coupons at the time?
The shops were, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Baird's shop and a Disky shop with had coupons for petrol.
They'll pump it up.
Yeah. The old butchers would cut off a piece of Fritz, grow your little bugger, and they'd hand you this piece of Fritz. That was quite common, to cut a piece of it. A sharp knife, you know.
There's a story about what is the present post office, and the adjacent businesses there used to be a, where Jim worked for Colin Baird. And I don't know how far back, Arnold, you might know more about this story, but there's a big cellar underneath where they used to store a lot of the groceries.
Yeah.
And they used to have groceries one side of it and have a dashery the other.
Yeah.
And one bloke, he must have been over the pub and he came back and he took his horse in there and everybody was panicking before because the draft horse, they thought, you know, might go through the boards. So there was a great big rush of somebody escorting the horse out again.
Leaving it on.
Yeah.
I could tell you just a short story of some incident that happened down in that cellar. It's not just a cellar, it's a big room at the size of the shop. And just before I tell you the story, it's got terrific memories for me because I started working there when I was 11 year old and going to school morning, before school in the morning and after school at night. And then we'd knock off at 6 o'clock Friday night, Saturday work until 12:30. That's the week, and you've got 2 and 6 months for that week. But memories down in this cellar, because the war was on, it was stacked to the ceiling, you know, with commodities. And that was great. I enjoyed the fact of being a part of that. But a day came just before Christmas, that comes to my mind, and all the Christmas toys had arrived, and they go down, there was an opening on out in the veranda,
yeah,
about so square. I'd open this up and there was a chute with this chute, all everything down there, and it'd be unpacked down there and then put up into the store. Well, being a young fella, only 11 or 12 year old, I opened up one of the boxes and, oh boy, what did I find? It was the shape of a Tommy gun, you know, all painted up, you know, beautiful. Oh gee, just goodness me, pick it up, you know, and look at it. And it must have been water. So I went across to the white bowl that was there that we used to wash our hands in and filled it. And I'm looking at it was a water pistol in the form of a Tommy gun. And I'm looking around like this to think, what can I have a shot at? And lo and behold, I went like that, and just up in the ceiling, there was an inch hole. You could put an inch hose in it. Now what we used to do is the vinegar used to come in to the store in a barrel up in the in the front, and we'd siphon that vinegar out of that barrel into another one down here, and that was one of the jobs that I had to do. And anyway, I looked up like that and I saw the hole, and as I looked, a man's face came in view. Now, what was happening was just along here, there was a wall, if you fellas remember, all the newspapers used to be there with your names on it.
Yes.
And you'd come into the shop and you'd pick up a newspaper with your name on it and go and pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, this man, as it turned out, was Jock Ross.
Yeah.
Now, Jock was a bit of a card. He was the elderly man, but he pushed through 10, 15 people waiting to be served to say, I'm in a hurry, Mr. Baird, I'm in a hurry, wanting to not stand and wait. But anyway, he'd be put in his place quite often. But lo and behold, he came in at that particular time to get his paper, and I saw his face like that. Oh, that's Jock Ross. You know, that shot went straight through that hole, never touched the sides. I saw his face go like that. And funny thing, nobody in the shop, he came in, the girls that was working there never saw it or anything. But it was as clean as a whistle, the best shot I'd ever done with anything. That's one story.
Did all of you guys live in the town, or did you live outside of the town? Oh. Can you elaborate a little bit on
lifestyle? Town was very spread out. I mean, the development of Williamstown was just along the main roads. You know, there were houses, hardly any back roads or streets or buildings in those days. There were only about, when I was a kid, there would have been only 500 or 600 people here or so.
Well, it's amazing. Like, you know, there was two major stores, two major general stores, two bakers, two butchers, and two general stores, and a garage.
There were three butchers.
And you know, I was hanging fire. I thought you were...
Tom Bennett, he used...
Oh, yeah, that's way back.
He used to kill thing in the backyard and carve it up to somebody in big lumps. But I'm going back prehistoric now.
No, I was hesitating because I thought there were three. There's some memories around here.
Six or seven places where you could buy petrol.
As a young fella...
There was more petrol pumps than cars.
I used to go out and collect the orders, you see, through the town. And I had to push a bike from Williamstown to Norm Wilson at Mount Crawford.
Yeah.
Now, how far would that be? And it's all gravel road.
It'd been 4 mile where we used to live up to Mount Crawford Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Norm Wilson was about another, perhaps half.
Yeah, well, Corriton Park Road, but that was about 6 mile up there. So it's getting on. Yeah, I used to push it up there all the way to the people up there, and they would tell me what they wanted in the groceries and that.
No, I'd done the same thing for Ladiskies. I had a brand new Melbourne Star push bike, which I bought for £21.02 and I used to ride that around.
Yeah.
And the store used to pay me 2 and 6 pence
each
day to go and get the orders.
So, the old push bike, I remember one night, this was around about half past five at night, delivered a basket for you. Used to put it in the front of the hand,
wasn't it? Quite a big basket.
And went over on Throm Square to Mr. and Mrs. Koch over there, delivering her groceries. And that was all right. It was getting fairly late. And anyway, she had so many dozen eggs, she said, that I'd like to send back to the store, and the store would take them and then eventually fill a crate and they would go to Gawler Egg Factory. So that was all right. She put them in the basket, and the basket was about a third full of blinky eggs. And of course, no bitumen roads, it's a rough gravel road over through there. Pedalling away, suddenly I started to smell a horrible stink coming in, see? And eventually I found it was dripping all over my trousers. It went through the basket and it was blowing back on
the trousers. Broken eggs.
Yeah. By the time, and then when I got out to the main road, I'll never forget this, to the main road, lo and behold, the Yanks, I just struck a whole convoy of American trucks and machinery and everything. Piled up with soldiers, put the wind up me as a lad only, you know, 11 or 12. And anyway, I got to the shop and left the thing. I said to Mrs. Baird, old granny was there at the time, she was about 85 or 6 at the time. I said, there's something horribly wrong, look at this. I said, and anyway, they took them and took them down into the kitchen, and she evidently put them in a tub of water. The good ones float, is it?
No, they sink. The crook ones float.
One of them float. It's either the crook ones or the good ones.
The crook ones float because they're
crook
dried
ones
out.
Float. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And she told me the next morning. She said, "Oh, look, they're they've been put through what they call key peg.
Yeah.
Key
yep.
peg to
yep.
Yeah.
They're probably 12 months old, these eggs, you see. And of course, well, it was just something she shouldn't have done was sent them to the shop. But and they were a good customer. I know they said no, we weren't. They got paid for them. They were a good customer.
Mm. Talking about Leditsky's, there was this fella who went in and his wife had a birthday and he wanted to buy some brassias. And in those days, they had a big counter. I can remember this counter, and behind it, they had shelves.
Yeah.
And the top shelves, apparently, this box of brassias was up there. And the story goes that she was halfway up the ladder to get the box, and she looked back down and she said, "What size brassias do you want?" And she must have, like, he must have misunderstood. Stood there and he said, I can't smell anything. She said, "No, what size?" And then he said, "Oh, about that big." My sister used to work in the haberdashery side, and they were quite, they had display windows out the front with all things. And,
yeah.
During the war, Arnold is the only one, and probably one of the last ones here to have taken part in the war, that's still living in Williamstown, I would think. I was too young to take part in the war, but my sister, she joined and as a nurse and went to Bougainville. My memories of the war are not very good because I lost three cousins that I knew of who were very close to me. And I came from a family of, mother's family was 8 and my father's family was 10. And I had 40 odd cousins who taught me everything. And I was about the youngest because both my mother and my father were the youngest of their families.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of my family. And I guess my cousins taught me everything about life, as it were. And I can still remember where I was when the news came that, you know, one of my cousins was shot down over New Guinea. He was in the Air Force. One of them went down with a Sydney. And the other one, he was in the army, and he was on that boat that the Americans, like the prisoners of war, and the Americans sunk the ship at that time.